who would like to pick on the chair?
I vote for Ken. I nominate Ken. Yeah,
all right. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right. You got the job, Ken.
Okay, great. So let's get started. Agenda.
Oh, actually, I had another item, I guess, to add along here. It was about nominating Ken for something else. I'm not sure where we go.
What are you nominating me for?
You find
I guess, let's see, where would it fit? Well, actually, it was kind of related to the association technical committee meetings that we had at FOIS. I don't know where you want to put that on the agenda.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we should have
a little bit of update.
Yes. Good.
Update on the meeting.
Well, maybe we'll do that.
Where do you want to put
first,
that?
Before the discussion.
Sure.
Because we have a status review.
Yes, the status review, maybe under the previous action items, then
sure.
Then report from FOIS, report
yeah.
from summer school.
Okay, yeah, report.
From FOIS, report from IAOA summer school. Any other reports of interest?
I'll be reporting on OASIS.
Uh-huh.
All right. Report from OASIS. Okay. Yeah, I mean, is that part of the action items? No. All right, good. Three reports.
Well, it's actually second bullet, actually, or third bullet.
Yeah, they're related, so that actually is a good place to mm-hmm. keep that. Give me a moment. I just saved. If you refresh, then we can follow the agenda again.
Okay, so the item we need to work on are the status review and discussion. First item is team priority, review and update our most critical tasks at hand. We actually updated that back in July.
Ooh. Right, so...
Is there anything you need to change there, or... Because, I mean, we did recently update it.
Right, so it's good, so let's skip this.
All right, so let's move on.
So
previous action item, status update. So, Michael, did you... you organized a session? Two sessions.
Okay, yeah, I see. So... One of the most recent sessions was, where are we here? I better refresh.
3DIX. Oh, 3DIW.
Okay, 3DIW,
3DIX.
3DIW. Yes, start from 3DIW.
Right. So the one session we had was kind of a preparation for the association technical committee session at FOIS. It kind of combined the work that's with ontologies and standards and also with, which is one of the technical committees, and the other technical committee is the ontology registry and repository committee. And so we had a really good discussion kind of on what's happened over the past year in these two areas. And kind of brainstorming on the future. And out of those, I used actually all the outputs from that one session as notes for the technical committee meeting at FOIS.
Cool.
So, yeah, that was quite a productive session we had there on the 17th.
How do you measure productivity?
There was a lot of energy and a lot of ideas. And when it came to the standard side, like we have a nice short list of upcoming topics and people. So I'll be right now. It's just a matter of getting scheduling. August is impossible to schedule anything there because everyone's on holiday. In September, academics are gearing up. So that's the only problem right now. The only bottleneck is scheduling. And as far as the repositories go, there is a lot of I think there's a lot more energy now for the content drive, as I think what we've been calling content sessions. But that gets into my report for the for FOI, so I'll leave that for a moment.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. So anyone have any questions? We will come back to that in a moment in your report. So then the next item is I will try to explore collaboration, and I did. It was on July 25th. They had the annual general meeting, which was quite interesting, you know, kind of a relatively small group of people. We all fit into one conference room, and everybody seemed to know everybody else, except me.
New blood.
Yeah, right. So it was an interesting experience. Everybody seemed really, really nice. They all were really happy to have me there, and you know,
vampires.
Definitely looking for new blood, right? Anyway, so I'll make a report about that a little later on. I should just mention that in addition to being chair of ICOM, I have now joined OData. So I will talk about that. Okay, so we will, okay, the next item is to start regular OOR funding workshops. So I was going to work on that. But August is not really, as you say, the easiest time to get people together. So it's probably something we're going to have to try to arrange for a little later.
Is that us standing in front of NSF, DARPA, or the White House with a little cup in our hand?
As I mentioned before, the it's actually quite difficult to get funding for infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is propose a particular use, kind of a particular domain, and you and the proposal has to include something like half or more of the people in that domain. So you basically have to grab people from some domain, say, look, you know, we can really help you with what you're doing, you know, let's team up. And as soon as you can find, you know, a group that, you know, is interested, it usually works pretty well. They like working with other groups, especially when you're not competing with them. So, I will be working on that.
When we come to scheduling, maybe it's time we schedule a dedicated session today.
Yeah, that's going to be, might not be good to try to schedule it yet because, you know, like I say, the domain people have to be involved. And it would be good to have at least one of them show up at such a meeting.
What domain people are you thinking of?
Exactly. And what domain people are you thinking of? Confirm that first?
Well, there are people in my college who could be collaborators. What I need to do is get in touch with them, but unfortunately, as I say, summertime is not the easiest time to get in touch with people.
So what domain did you have in mind, Jen?
Well, there's one person who does data mining in my college. His name is Riedewald.
Well, you know, the suggestions you had about sort of latching on or glomming on to another group is probably the way to go, only way to go at this point. And what came to my mind is cybersecurity gang. Now, I realize that's a really diverse domain, but it's also really sexy and of great interest at this point. Now, I don't know if anyone at your school is, or Michael at your place, are interested in that.
We actually have an NSA certification. The NSA is certified that we're a center of excellence for
teaching?
For something like cyber something.
Yeah, they have a couple of schools.
But it's teaching, right? It's not research.
Well, teaching people about cybersecurity, that itself is a challenge, yeah.
Yeah, and we're actually pretty good at that. And as for people actually doing research in that area, I think we do have some people, but I don't know that any of them would be interested in ontologies. I can investigate that, of course.
Okay.
I'll keep trying.
NSA can fund all sorts of things, whether they're very secret or not unclassified. They can do both, actually. That might be a viable alternative, because I happen to know NSA is already using semantic technologies.
Mm-hmm.
Though, of course, it's a large organization, very diverse, and the different groups don't necessarily talk to each other. So,
without sort of going into the details, I have two thoughts. One, do we want a session just among ourselves to strategize how we want to sort of start fundraising version 2? Obviously, fundraising version 1 never panned out for OOR. That's number one. Number two is, I mean, we might still want to lock down a date, because that would help everyone if we want to pull more than one party, one sort of content party or domain party into the fold. Then we have a concrete date to ask people whether they're available on a particular date. These are two thoughts.
So yes, so the first date gets back to Michael's question. Do we want to have a general discussion about the domain that we should consider,
or overall strategy, just among ourselves? And how do we do it? I mean, are we focusing on research? Are we focusing on content? How are we going to work this out? I mean, just among all our core people, maybe with a dedicated session. I mean, that's one thought. But it will be Ken's call as to how best to sort of revive this whole effort, the entire
thing. Yeah, why don't, when we get to scheduling, let's see if we can pick a good date for that.
Okay.
All right, so let's move on. Let's see. You have updated the... So the next bullet item is that you will update. Did you update? Right?
I did already, right?
Okay,
maybe a couple of hours after the last meeting.
Delete that entry.
Yeah. That's just for the record.
Okay. Okay, so let's move on to Michael, your report.
Okay, so at FOIS we had two technical committee meetings, like I said, one on standards, on ontologies and standards, and the other one, the ontology registries and repositories. So I'm going to focus on the second one, because that's what today's meeting is about. So the good news was that there were several workshops just before the main part of FOIS, and one of them was on ontologies for semantic manufacturing. And there were several projects there where they actually were presenting real ontologies. Here is the ontology that we're, or here are the ontologies we're using. Here's how we're integrating them, and you can get kind of copies from our website. And I mentioned the OOR effort, and they were everyone who had been presenting there was very, very favorable, very enthusiastic about uploading their ontologies to one of the OOR instances.
Michael?
Yeah?
Quick question there. The people you were just talking about, they're from Europe?
Yes.
Okay. How familiar were they with OOR?
They had not heard of it.
Oh, damn. Okay, well, the reason I bring that up is because during the summer school thing, no one seems to have heard much of common logic either. There seems to be a disconnect between Europe and America.
Huge disconnect.
Okay,
and I guess we'll have to work it through IAOA somehow. But evidently, a lot of people have not heard of IAOA either. Except, of course, I mean, those at the summer school and those at Voice would have, but hardly anybody else, kind of a thing.
Yeah, but I would think that both OOR and Common Logic have made enough noise that people at least have heard of them, even if they don't know much about them. So it's sort of disconcerting. But, okay, I'm sorry, Michael.
That's a good data point. I mean,
I had a battle with, do you know Kiara? What's your last name?
From Manchester?
No. From the institute there in Trento.
Okay.
She didn't know much of anything about common logic. Neither did Luciano, and Nicola didn't want to talk about it much. Of course, I don't think he's greatly interested in those particular aspects. Just struck me as very weird. But go ahead. But you might be interested in that data point, Michael.
Oh yeah. You're right.
Okay.
We'll have to have a meeting to strategize. Kind of awareness in other parts of our community. I think I mentioned that, I think, one of our earlier sessions here. In addition to trying to get interact with industry, I think we really have a big job of interacting with other academic groups.
That's the issue. We don't want to interact with other academic groups. That's another concern I had that was very apparent in Trento. Their notion of applied ontologies is significantly different than ours.
Mm.
Now, I understand that the notion of applying things occurs at many levels, and because of the interdisciplinary nature of this field, that's a valid point of view, but they seem to have a disconnect with actually getting the system to run, though they talk about it a lot.
They're more on the philosophy side.
Well, less hardcore applied stuff. You know, literally writing some code out, get the damn thing to work and see how it performs and so on.
Right.
That's not
right.
entirely true, but that was a general precept I got from the whole affair.
Mm.
So, okay, well, I'm sorry, Michael.
No, but that might be a kind of an aspect of Trento as well.
Understood, but they were running the summer school there, and it was a nice place to summer school.
Right.
I'm sure Toronto would be nice, too, in the summer.
let's see. Okay, so the everyone there was kind of, actually everyone at that workshop pretty well was from Europe, that's true. One of the projects was called the Virtual Factory Floor. It's one of the EU projects. And currently, the ontologies that they have there, they're available, but you have to kind of become, you have to kind of sign up on their website, to get access. But, I think they said, I think by the fall, one of their deliverables comes due. And at that point, their ontologies become like more widely available. And they, at that point, they would be able to upload their ontologies to the one of the OOR instances.
Excellent.
As well, there was also the workshop in modular ontologies that was there. And again, the people who some of the people there aren't actually working on specific ontologies. They're working more on techniques for decomposing an ontology into modules, etc. Not as much interest in OOR from them for whatever reason. But there are, for example, the Tones ontology repository from Manchester. There was interest to get that migrated over into an OOR instance because the effort that funded the development of that repository, well, they call it a repository. It's more like just a listing. But anyway, the effort that kind of funded that is over, and people felt that it would be good to get it into an OOR instance before it potentially disappears. So that'd be good. We can get that into one of the instances.
Could someone capture that? I mean, mostly Michael. I'll capture that onto the chat, please.
Yeah. When I finish talking, I'll
afterwards.
Let's see. Oh, and then okay. Then so finally, the question was raised on, how do we kind of keep up this momentum, and as part of that question, it kind of came up. Well, who's the actual chair of this technical committee within IAOA, and I had kind of been shepherding it because no one else had stepped up, but I had kind of thought of nominating Ken to be the chair of this technical committee, and I mentioned that, and everyone else in the room and online thought that was a great idea. So, Ken, what do you think?
Because Ken wasn't there.
Yeah, I've had this experience before.
I second that nomination, Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, in favor?
Yeah, second. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've had the experience of walking late into a committee meeting on campus, only to find that I was already elected chair.
He should be on time.
Yeah. In fact, I think it's a strategy. If you want to be chair, just show up late.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's fine. I mean, certainly I can do that. So anything else, Michael?
No, that was all. I think the this technical committee, I think, really is kind of one that it really overlaps a lot with OOR, first of all. But also there's how it's related to other, potentially other kind of repository efforts, particularly in Europe. And I think after FOIS, I think there's a lot more interest in at least some groups in Europe. And so we'll see how that grows in terms of content drive. I mean, I'm still kind of, you know, interested in helping along with getting people to upload more content into one of the instances. But if you kind of took over the overall, kind of, leadership for that committee, that would be great.
Yeah, how I can take over since I wasn't there.
It's more like starting.
True.
Than take over.
Starting.
And did you guys talk about, because nominally for these, this is like a chair or co-chair and a EC liaison. Will you continue to be the EC liaison?
Yes.
Good.
Okay. So I presume it's just virtual meetings?
Well, we haven't had any meetings at all. I mean, so I think right now it's just, like Peter said, it's getting started. We could even have spare sessions at one of the OR meetings. I mean, have that as being... You're using this time slot as a meeting, as a way of kind of kicking things off. I think it's more a matter of, like with everything else we've been doing, you know, just kind of getting people aware. I mean, like Todd said, people at summer school hadn't even heard of OR. People at FOIS hadn't even heard of OR. So I think that's kind of one of our big goals, I think, for the coming year, is to put OR on the map.
I have to correct you there, Michael, and also apologize. I don't think I brought up the issue of OOR at the summer school.
Oh, okay.
The notion of, I think Giancarlo is aware of it, but there didn't seem to be an opportunity, or an opportune opportunity, to bring up the notion of actually a place to have these things. If you look at some of the material that was discussed, Giancarlo got the closest to actually talking about real ontology, but he was off into conceptual modeling and how you sort of subvert UML to support that.
Right.
You're on the executive committee of IAOA, correct, Michael?
Yes.
Good. I'm going to start making some noises with the education committee. One of the issues that came out, of, at least to my mind and others in the summer school, was the lack of at least a lexicon for the domain of ontology, in particular or implied ontology, with the understanding that there is some discussion or differences among the interpretations of some of those terms, like kind, category, sortal, scope, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But I can talk about that later.
No, that also came up at some of the other sessions at FOIS, one of the side efforts of the education committee should be such a glossary. They've been really focused on their textbook, but I don't know, in some ways having this repository, I mean, having this glossary would be kind of a first, deliverable.
I spoke to Nicola about that, and I suggested in terms of the textbook, what they could do is create a template and just point to articles existing already either on Wikipedia or the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of just hack together stuff, and if there are gaps, people could just write write those articles rather than trying to sit down and write a whole bloody textbook, even if it's sort of condensed and compact. That's a real huge effort. Because there is a lot of material out there that you sort of hack together.
Oh, and there was actually one other point, actually, I forgot to. One of the things that got tossed around during some of one of the sessions was this idea of when people submit papers to FOIS or the Applied Ontology Journal, if that paper is about an ontology or about evaluating an ontology or comparing ontologies, that it would be strongly encouraged that people would make the ontology that they're either using or developing or analyzing, evaluating, whatever, available. And the place to make them available would be within an OR instance.
Oh, so couple that to the AO journal?
Well, this is one idea that was kind of tossed around. I mean, as far as the, actually making it official, it's a ways away from that, but I think that's something that will be raised for discussion, hopefully within FOIS, for the next FOIS as part of the program committee, and maybe in the editorial group of Applied Ontology Journal.
Okay.
But the idea would be to make an OR instance, kind of the place where people would kind of upload the materials from their papers. Because this happens in other disciplines, biology, for example, anything to nature, science, whatever. I mean, you have to make your data sets publicly available. And so for us...
Really?
Hmm? Yeah.
I guess they do it at CERN.
Yeah.
Oh, they really do it big time in biology and medicine.
Yeah.
If you submit a paper, they check every URL.
Oh, they don't check the data, just the URLs.
Well, they'll check to make sure that it actually corresponds to what you say. But, in the case of OOR, we're saying, okay, you refer to an ontology. Well,
where is it?
Right.
And we better be able to get access to it. And that's essentially the same thing that happens in these other fields.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So it's a lot to do with metadata. I mean, if not just the ontology in an OOR repository, that for one, and also, there were also discussion. I think Alexander Garcia even had a workshop to the effect that to make all the papers map into some paper ontology. Was there something like that?
It was something like that idea. Yeah.
So not just an ontology, but the make up an ontology on technical papers, and then have all papers sort of properly map into that ontology. I guess it's sort of the ontological version of Dublin Core.
Yeah, I think most of the discussion was on the actual ontologies within the papers. But I mean that would be a good idea as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean these are two different things. So.
Yeah.
But I think both could make good content for OOR. At the least.
Okay. So. Is that it for FOIS?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next item is the
You guys could
tool.
Refresh, yeah.
I guess, Todd, are you still on?
Yes, I'm here, but I have to leave shortly.
Yeah, what can you say about the summer school? That you haven't said already.
I found it very interesting in the respect that there are large gaps of my knowledge that were unfortunately uncovered. But, okay, that's fine. And some of the lecturers, in particular Kevin Mulligan, I thought was terribly entertaining. This guy, oh, you'll love this. I think he asserted explicitly that Barry Smith is a sexist.
he's from philosophy, right?
Say again?
Is Kevin from a philosopher?
Yes.
Ah,
Die Hard philosopher. In fact, he's worked with Barry in the past.
Okay.
Um,
sounds like philosophy.
Oh no, he was excellent lecturer. And you know, one of the requests I made on Thursday, I think it was, of the summer school, was that the lecturers attempt to define the terms that they were using in their context. And Michael, I was going to just send you a note here in the chat box. I also created a little concept map of the various areas that were discussed during the week. There was formal ontology, philosophic ontology, conceptual modeling, logic and representation languages, and linguistics. And what I had asked the lecturers, I presented this little diagram to them and asked them, well, could you explain how your area is used in applied ontology in the context of creating ontology for a particular domain and application therein?
Right.
So,
right.
Didn't get much response to that, though Kevin's lecture on Friday did try to address some of that. And this is where the interdisciplinary part comes in. And, you know, when Kevin's talking about categories, when Luciano or Chiara were talking about categories, or when Nicole was talking about categories, and then his kinds, I think they had different interpretations of those. And when Giancarlo was talking about the conceptual modeling, it was driving me crazy because he was jumping between UML terminology, philosophic terminology, and then concept modeling terminology without making those distinctions clear. And I brought this to his attention, and he was sort of embarrassed by saying that he's aware of those distinctions, but they're so patently obvious he doesn't tell his audience. So, you know, so he was sort of embarrassed by that one. He tried to address that a bit on the following day of his lectures. But overall, the use of terminology itself during the lectures was itself confusing. So this is the impetus, you know, because there is a relationship between philosophic logic, philosophy, philosophic ontology, and then formal ontology, however you want to define that, and I don't claim to have a good definition, and then how that influences and or is used in representation languages and first-order logic and other various logics, and then how linguistics comes into play in those use of those terms, well, cultural and other influences. And what else is floating around in there? Oh, and then the conceptual modeling, how is that influenced by philosophical ontology, philosophical logic? How is that influenced by first-order logic and other logics? How does conceptual modeling impact applied ontology? Blah, 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 blah. So there are all these things floating around in there, and there was some resonance when I showed that little diagram because it sort of made it a little clearer, at least to my mind, the various areas that were discussed and some of the gaps that were not discussed, and that is how those various things influenced the other parts. Now, they were sort of addressed, but they weren't – the way that they were addressed was not sufficiently explicit to my mind. Now, of course, maybe I was looking for a more simple-minded solution. You know, I do like comic book versions of things. But then this is the issue of what really means to be applied. Well, yeah, you're applying – philosophic notions of ontology to conceptual modeling, to formal ontology, to representation languages, okay, and then you're applying conceptual modeling perhaps to directly creating ontologies and or models for ontologies and or representation languages. So there are all these interactions going on. It also dawned on me that I didn't bring it up, is that maybe we need an IAOA workshop on an ontology for ontology. That was a little audacious, so I didn't bring that one up. And this is where also the disconnect or difference of opinion, shall we say, as to what applied means or where it is being applied. Recursive definition there. There was not a clear connection between the aspects of philosophic ontology and creating an appropriate ontology, either in Common Logic, OWL, or RDF, or even just natural language. It's there, somehow. It's not clear to me. I can see some of the connections, but some of those, if IAOA made those more explicit, it would facilitate the acceptance of this. I mean, right now, whenever I talk to people that are not interested in this field, there's a heck of a lot of confusion going around as to what things are or aren't, and how important things are or aren't. Do I really have to be concerned about the kinds and categories if I'm developing a small ontology for a network router? maybe, maybe not. But if you don't know what those things are, it's kind of hard to make any evaluation. I ranted on long enough, sorry.
Please capture that onto the chat.
Yeah, or actually maybe even that requires some more deep exposition,
yeah.
Actually. If you had, if you wrote up like a one-pager, that'd be great.
I've already, I was typing the chat box here. I've already sent some of this stuff to Leo, and Leo sent me the names of the committee members on the education committee of IALA, so I told Leo I would start badgering or discussing this issue with them.
Make it on the IAOA member list. One, it's
yes.
Sort of, it's unlike Ontolog Forum, it's a password protected list. So it's not Googled, I mean, it's not indexed by search engines and so on. And it starts new conversations. So rather than just circulating it among a few people, make a noise. Make real noise.
Make real noise. Okay, that's fine. Again, that's what I'm saying. There's this the European view of things seems to be, or at least the view I saw at Trento, is very different than what I'm seeing in this country.
Yeah, but see, part of it too is that even something like FOIS, I mean, it has very different perspectives. I mean, there's the philosophy side, there's the linguistic side, there's the logic side, you know, kind of more kind of computer science side, and it's not really clear, like, you know, whether or not one, I mean, I don't think any one view is correct, but the problem is that each of these little subcommunities use different criteria for evaluation, for exposition, that's coming up too.
Well, right, but the FOIS has a particular focus, which is fine. That does bleed over into very specific applications, which is great. But IAOA's charter is talking about applied ontology.
Mm.
Well, as I think everyone agrees, and based on how they constructed the summer school, it is necessarily interdisciplinary.
Yeah.
Which
is
sort of contrary to academic pursuits anyway. Sorry, Michael Ken. But you guys already are doing that sort of thing, being interdisciplinary. I can't even say it, sorry. So it shouldn't be a big step, but we just have to push it because the perspectives of the two continents are not sufficiently aligned at this point. They both need each other.
And it does fall into IAOA's charter. I mean, that's exactly what it's supposed to do.
Right. So many domain organizations develop their own lexicon so that people who are working in that area and agree with their view of things have a common lexicon. And given the amount, as I said, the confusion that reigns in the use of these terms, you know, what's a kind? Well, it depends who you talk to. Now, I'm not trying to dismiss that there may be very significant differences among different groups, but those differences themselves should be captured. And, of course, if we let philosopher do it, that's sort of a never-ending task, but we can ask them to be brief. But having those distinctions very made explicit, and that's the real issue here, is making this stuff explicit so people can find it and decide to agree with it or disagree with it. That's all. And I'm sorry, I have to go now. But I will find that mailing list, Peter, and start making noises on there.
Yeah.
Thank you for that suggestion.
Yeah.
Thanks, Todd.
Okay.
That sounds like you've opened up a very interesting area.
Well, I may have been stepping on toes, too, but I've got big feet.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. So moving on to report from OASIS. Speaking of kind of disconnects, there's certainly a lot of disconnects that one encounters in the case of academics and industry in the U.S. It's pretty clear that there's very little interest among, you know, computer science people and academics in the U.S. and the standards bodies, which is quite noticeable. There was actually one person at the meeting who was listed as Carnegie Mellon, as being affiliated with Carnegie Mellon. And so I walked over and talked to him, and one of the first things he said was, well, I'm not actually an academic, and I really don't have anything to do with Carnegie Mellon, in spite of having that name, in spite of being. So, I mean, he was actually defensive about this, because apparently people in Oasis don't get along with people in academics and vice versa. But, I got along very well with them. So anyway, let me tell you what goes on there. They do have a number of, well, all the real work is done by the technical committees. And they do have this procedure that they follow for developing standards. One aspect of it in OASIS is that OASIS is very open. Other standards bodies are not so open, and also they do their work almost entirely at virtual meetings. So that also differs from other standards bodies. So it's actually a perfect place for someone in academics to get involved in a standards body because of that good attitude that they have. I've been involved with OMG for many years, and they really insist on face-to-face meetings, which makes it difficult to be involved if you're in academics. So then the big thing that's happening there is the cloud. There are various technical committees that already exist and that are being formed to deal with standards related to the cloud. So I heard a lot about the cloud. But there was one group that has just started. I was at the inaugural meeting and was a member from the start, and that's OData, which is open data. Is everyone here familiar with that?
Not OData specifically.
OData? Hmm. The idea is to have a way of interacting with databases in the same way that one can interact with websites on the web. Because right now, if you wish to get data from a relational database, there is no obvious way that you can do it without, setting up a website that has some kind of interface that, would present the data to you in some fashion. So it's all ad hoc. Really no standard way of presenting relational data on the web. So the two companies, Microsoft and Google, started creating a general interface to data. Google called it GData. Microsoft called it OData. And if you look at the Wikipedia sites for these two, they reference each other as competitors. But these are open standards, so it's not clear exactly what you mean by competing. I suppose it's because, they're selling products that would be based on their standard. And, of course, they would like to have their standard be the one that is accepted. Anyway, so OData, Microsoft came to OASIS to ask them to standardize their techniques, their interface, and I joined that group, and it is quite interesting. But the most interesting part is that they explicitly talk about ontologies, annotating and referring to ontologies. I was quite surprised when all of a sudden one of the speakers started using the word ontology. But then as I listened more to it, what he meant was just terminology, and their idea of a sophisticated ontology is an XML schema. That's the deepest kind of ontology they would get to. And when they talk about ontologies being available on the web, they mean schema.org. So anyway, I'm going to be, since I'm on that committee, and I'll be when we get to that issue, I'm going to talk about the OOR as being something they could include in their standard as a way of saying, you know, if you're going to be using an ontology, this is the way that you would get it. So we'll see what they think of that. I mean, it's conceivable that one could even have a technical committee to standardize OOR. It's a, that is the kind of thing they do. So anyway, it looks like people are really interested in this topic. I've talked to people about the, ontologies and OOR, and they seem really, quite interested. The only thing is, if we're going to be making headway with them, we probably should consider including XML schemas as ontologies in an OOR. Because that is what a lot of their ontologies are expressed right now.
Yeah, OASIS started out as sort of the main thrust behind XML. And considering, I mean, the people who started that, I mean, included folks like, what's his name, John Bosak, who...
OASIS predates XML. It was originally...
I know, it predates XML, but the key people who really moved it to the way it is now actually were people like John.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, definitely, yeah.
So John is sort of the father of XML. So at around that time, if you had like 35 technical committees, 30 of them were on XML, were developing some XML vocabulary.
Right, right. They're I'm in the process of trying to extract all of that from the standards right now.
Right.
I've succeeded in getting all of the metadata out.
Fantastic.
That I can already do. What I haven't yet succeeded in doing is getting all of their schemas out. But they do have the schemas there. They do have the XML schemas. The only thing I have to try to do is relate the schema as specified in the standards document to the schema that is stored. And so they clearly need something like an OOR, and I think they recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
To relate the standard to the schema. But it really comes out. I mean, because they were originally SGML Open. That was how they were originally founded.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early work that I did in biology and medicine for representing knowledge was all in SGML because XML didn't exist yet. And, of course, RDF and OWL didn't exist either. But one thing that was interesting was that they were really eager to move from XML schemas to RDF and OWL. So although, you know, they generally express their standards, you know, in terms of XML schemas, they very much like the idea of moving to more semantics. They like the idea of having somebody like myself who is available to talk to people in all of the standards technical committees to be a resource for helping them move their standard to a more semantic level. So that was very nice. I mean, I got some very positive feedback from them. And that could be a huge source of ontologies for OOR.
Who among that group was behind that?
Behind
moving to more semantics.
I talked to a number of people. Talked to Chet Ensign.
Mm-hmm.
But
Chet Ensign is fairly new. How about was Laurent Lichier there? Jamie Clark?
No, I don't recall talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is I'm only just starting with them, you know. I'm sure I'll start encountering them. But, I mean, I definitely talked to some of the top people there.
Uh-huh.
and they were very positive about it.
Oh, fantastic.
So that sort of handles kind of two things, not just a source for really well-developed ontologies, because these standards bodies take great care on developing those ontologies, or developing the standard. Also, the relationship between standards and ontologies. I mean, I understand that was one of the special interest groups at this meeting. Is that right? Yes,
IAOA. Yeah, there's a standard.
The IAOA. So there's ontology registry and repository is one issue, and then
standards.
Ontologies and standards. Yeah. It seems those two are related.
Well, they're related, yeah, for sure. I think the standards one, though, is a little more oriented towards kind of coordination, whereas the repositories is more kind of, content drive and facilitating sharing of ontologies in a way. But there's definitely a strong overlap, I agree.
Yeah, it's definitely, well, they're different, of course, but there's definitely overlap. They mentioned a number of times standards, the standard for measurement. They saw that as a real success.
Or units of measure?
Units of measurement.
The QOMOS?
Yeah.
They think it's a success?
Yeah, that things are going on at all.
I mean, nothing is going on. I mean, there's a total failure. I mean, not.
There was a failure?
It's now reduced to a shadow. The whole effort is mothballed. I mean, I don't even want to talk about it because, we talked about it at the session Michael was running. Remember, someone was asking, and I say Steve Ray should answer that one.
Yeah.
And Steve says it stopped because NIST didn't want to support it. And not even just they didn't want to support it, they were actively stopping people from supporting it.
Is there a reason for that?
I mean, according to Steve, I mean, it's too close to NIST's crown jewel, and it might start a lot of politics within NIST that they felt that they should not actively pursue, at least at this point. Because, I mean, there has been reorganizations and things, and I guess people were just afraid.
Hmm.
I mean, you have to remember, I mean, standards and measurement, I mean, like measuring the meter and the second, I mean, these are real crown jewels of NIST. And it's not controlled by computer scientists. It's controlled by the physics lab or something.
It's a manufacturing lab. So yeah, they're kind of moving. Oh, you mean the
the measurement standards. I mean, it's not manufacturing lab. It's the physics lab.
Yeah.
And those are totally different people. And I don't think that the computer people or manufacturing people comes anywhere near to the clout of the physics lab people when it comes to those standards. I mean,
I don't think that's what they were referring to.
No, I know what they're referring to. I helped start that whole effort. Almost, I know what they're referring to.
Yeah.
It would have been great, but it's now mothballed. I tried to get some funding and to sort of restart it without this and without Steve, because Steve didn't want to do anything. NIST didn't want to do so, but then, I mean, other things took over my time, and I didn't. I even got Pat Hayes to confirmed to continue, and IBM to think that they might support it or something. But I later didn't pursue any further. Mm-hmm. It's definitely worth pursuing. The world needs an ontology based units of measure standard.
Yeah. But that's this wasn't what I was referring to. I was just referring to the fact that there is general agreement on the terms, even if there's no ontology for it. Remember, they're at a lower level than we're talking about. They're just talking about terminology, agreement on the words, without really thinking about the semantics of them. You know, at most at the level of XML schema. Certainly not. They're not yet up to the level of talking about RDF or OWL or common logic. Boy, they're really far away from that. But it's a start. I mean, they're certainly interested in moving in those directions. And anyway, then the way OData works, what the standard is a REST standard. So basically, it's a way of specifying a URL that allows you to query a database, some sort of data source. So it's a way of extending the URL, kind of the standard for URLs to include much more sophisticated queries. So that's what it is. Anyway, so that, but as I say, they're really interested. I mean, they've already basically incorporated into OData the ability to annotate data and the specification that it should be annotated with an ontology, which is very nice. Okay, so anything else you might want to hear about OASIS? Is there any, do you think that OOR could eventually be a standard? Is that a prospect?
No.
Well, OOR is more of an architecture, though. I'm not sure.
Right. But if it's eventually the go-to place to host standards, then we'll be extremely successful.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the way you normally do standards is they start out at a company. Company develops something, like, IBM does this, Cisco in the network area, and then you have Amazon with the cloud, and now Microsoft and Google with data. But they develop basically their product, and then they say, okay, let's make a standard out of this. And of course, their attitude is this would help them sell their product. It's a little harder to do that in our case because we're not a company. We're not developing a product that would make money. It's a little harder to use that model.
But that model has been used before. If you look at groups like PCMCIA, like it's sort of industrial consortium or a group of people from various origins. I mean, academics, researchers, industry people coming together and develop a standard. I think by the time we get enough adoption, hopefully OOR becomes a de facto standard, and then whatever is written up on it can become an approved standard. But that's secondary, because the OOR mandate is to host ontologies and provide value-added services to two ontologies that are hosted. So I guess if in relation to standards, we'll be extremely successful if we host, we become the go-to place for standards. People are looking for a standard, they come to OR and say, that's the standard. And the standard is now both in English and in Common Logic, or both in English and in OWL.
Right.
And the OWL is sort of back to some Common Logic foundational ontology.
But as a consortium, we only have one member, which is NCBO.
Who?
I mean, if you think of OOR in terms of a consortium of companies and...
No. I mean, we have the University of Toronto with Northeastern...
No, I mean in terms of, say companies or funded organizations who are funded to do this.
But funding is irrelevant. I mean, OASIS is sort of not quite funded in the way...
No, is there any company that would be...
would come up to fund the efforts?
Well, would see this as something they would like to have in their company.
Well, Raytheon, BBN obviously does. To put Todd and Mike's time in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, MITRE does, although MITRE is not quite a company.
Right. Anyway, yeah, so...
That has to do, something to do with our funding strategy as well. That would be a good discussion.
I think we need to talk about, how the funding strategy works. Right, so we could think of Raytheon as being involved. Although, would Raytheon use OR for anything within the company?
Well, I like Peter's phrasing there, value-added services. On top of all the ontologies that are there. this might be where we actually need to ask a lot more industry people, what are the value-added services that you would want to see in order to use an ontology or use a set of ontologies in a new application?
Right.
I mean, we've talked about services before in terms of the standard kind of software services, how to run the repository, but I know when I heard Peter's phrase, value-added service, it's kind of like more than software. It's kind of like, what else are you giving me besides just, uploading and downloading ontologies? What's the other benefit of having OOR? I think that's a really good question. I don't know if we've really asked it in that way before.
I guess
the whole point of the architecture workshop and the use case analysis is to determine what the value-add is.
Yeah, but the main challenge is that, people need to really use ontology before they need more value out of the ontology. The problem is few people are really using ontologies in a big way. Toy projects at best. But then if we tweak the definition of ontology a little bit, maybe we can say, just like Ali Hashemi writing in the what is an ontology? Everybody is an ontologist. We could go out and say everybody is actually already using ontologies, and you don't know it. Here is how, and here is what else you can do with that, and so on. It comes back to strategy. We definitely need to sort of take one step back and think.
There's no question that I see that a lot in, in industry. If you just look at it right, you see that they are in fact doing ontologies, but they're the language that they use to express these is, you know, like I say, now it's like XML schema or JSON or in the case of OData, it's some kind of grammar for URLs. But even in OData or in the cloud computing, they have an underlying data model that they use to express what it is that they're working with. And that data model is very important to them, but it tends to be expressed in these much less semantic ways. So yeah, people are out there. They're using ontologies. I mean, they're using data modeling, and they're just, you know, not doing it very consistently, very, very well.
Yeah, I have one brilliant thought. I mean, this just came up. I never thought of it this way before. But the way the semantic web people have been going, I mean, of course, I mean, they really want to do adoption more than anything else. So they move semantic web almost to linked open data now. And in that process, actually got further and further away from semantics and more towards structure. So they, at best, I mean, they are trying to give people structural interoperability rather than semantic interoperability, which was what they started out with. So, I mean, that's a huge opportunity even for us now. When we, let's say for ontologists, I mean, if we want to get very popular, we could sort of attack the other side of the game. I mean, go down to the terminologies, I mean, and anchor on semantics.
Well, yeah, that
without as much, maybe without as much emphasis on puritanistic logic, but emphasize on what semantics can do, and maybe, I mean, everybody has been doing semantics all along, I mean, except that it's not interoperable.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm seeing out there are XML schemas and grammars. There's definitely, and it's all formal, right? Grammar is perfectly formal. And there's a semantics behind XML schema. If we do support in the same way as any other ontology, right? Because the emphasis is, of course, on the metadata. Allow someone to upload an XML schema and.
And I think I take issue with your claim that XML schema has semantics. I mean, there's no notion that an XML, or can an XML schema be, you know, syntactically correct, yet be inconsistent? Can it say something inconsistent? I don't think there's any notion of consistency beyond the syntax.
But there is a notion of semantics in that you can say what it means for for something to be an instance of the schema.
Yeah. I mean, but see, usually semantics is associated with, you know, truth assignments and things like this. So you can say, you know, whether or not a particular theory is satisfiable, or whether the statements in one set of expressions must be true whenever the set of senses in another set are also true, you know, notion of entailment. You know, that's usually what people in the ontology community mean by semantics.
Right, right. Well, it isn't really that kind of logic here. It's more,
right.
It's more the logic of, say, you know, something really basic like the integers.
Yeah.
You know what it means for two integers to be the same. You know what it means to add them. You know, it's definitely a lower level, and people would like to get to higher levels where you can make these statements. But you know, maybe we have to start out, you know, walking before we're running.
Yeah, I think we have to be careful, though, about diluting our message too much, because I think that's what got the ontology community in the mess that it is, that it was trying to be too accommodating. So anything can be an ontology now. And, you know, the reason there's confusion over what ontology is sometimes, I think, is because we haven't been aggressive enough in actually saying, no, that's not ontology in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I know. Right. This definitely deserves a thorough discussion.
Yeah. But I think that kind of a side note to Peter's comment, too, could be also see the lack of really good examples of ontology. So it's one thing to say, oh, you guys aren't doing semantics, but then, you know, that's not really what we mean by an ontology. So then they say, okay, well, show us an ontology. And then it's like, you can't really show anybody something. So with OR, we'd be able to say, okay, well, look, you know, here's a whole range of ontologies for a range of domains, from really generic to very applied, from biology to all the way to, you know, whatever. And here's how they have been used. You know, like, that's the biggest impact I think we could have. That way you don't have to, like, force people to say, oh, this is ontology. You just have to say, here's what we're doing, here's how it's done, and here's the benefits and impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, when I start talking to people about, you know, moving from XML schema to OWL, you know, I point out to them things like, well, you have this one entity, and then you have this other entity. Could something be both of them? Right? I mean, could you have a person who is also a car?
Right.
You know, and then they say, oh, well, of course not. But then again, you never say that. And so you could actually have a situation where someone was also a car. Of course, they have movies about that sort of thing. Because it's almost funny. But the idea is that they never even thought about these things because they had no way of expressing the fact that two classes might be disjoint.
Right.
So when you say, well, now you can say things like that, then suddenly you say, okay, well, now we can put this sort of information in. So it gives us the ability to, you know, to check things a little more thoroughly, to check the to make sure you have consistency, and in fact, for the first time, they talk about consistency. So that's an altogether new notion for them, which they like. I mean, they do like this notion, and you know, gradually they start getting into it. So, you know, on the one hand, I agree with you. You know, you don't want to dumb things down too much. On the other hand, you can't expect that everybody in these communities is instantly going to know everything about ontologies.
No, I agree. Yeah.
So I think there's one person I know in the biology and medicine communities about, you know, ontologies in that field, talked about how the field was full of what he called semantic creeps, people who were creeping into semantics. Of course, creep has another meaning.
Okay, may I suggest we move on to scheduling events?
All right. So, yeah, right, we're running over time.
Right.
But it's certainly an interesting discussion.
Definitely. And we've created a huge number of really interesting conversations that we could start in focused workshops, definitely.
Did you catch any of that?
I caught whatever I can on the chat, and there's some notes.
Okay, good. So let's look at the schedule of events. How's that?
Okay, next Tuesday, Mike Dean is going to do OR for Big Data. I had a mail exchange when he said he can't make this meeting, but he said he will proceed with this. He is not planning on presentations, but he said he will create a few focused things for discussion. So it would be more like what Michael did last time, which I think is good. Then the whole session would be discussions around a few focused areas. So that only takes care of next Tuesday, and we have nothing else scheduled beyond that.
Oh, okay.
So the content workshop, like I said, what I want to be able to do is pull together the people who are at FOIS, just to kind of use this as a reminder, but, you know, like some kind of focus thing so that we can get those people to upload their ontologies to OR. So that's what I'm thinking of for the next content workshop, but that's going to have to be September, like I said.
Any specific date?
Okay, can we at least tentatively lock in a date?
I think the 18th should be safe.
September 18th? Okay. And let me see, the September meeting would be the 4th.
What's on the 4th?
Yeah, the regular meeting, the monthly meeting.
Monthly meeting. Okay.
As far as metadata goes, I'm going to have to go back and look at my notes to see what we said in the last two workshops about future plans, because there's nothing really on the agenda for metadata right now. There's nothing that, you know, a burning question. I'll have to go back and look to see what we had mentioned in earlier meetings.
Okay.
So I'll get back to you about that one.
All right. So
what about a funding meeting? It seems like we're pretty open.
Right. Funding meeting, code development, architecture, API. Funding, definitely. We want to strategy. Do you want a strategy, or do you think we have enough strategy, just pull the domain people in?
Well, okay, let's see. Yeah, why don't we have a strategy meeting? That would make sense.
Okay.
You say all of August is basically open.
Yes, it's August. I mean, 21st and 28th are both open. Can pick one.
What's on the 14th?
14th is Mike Dean's.
Oh, right.
OR for big data discussion.
Right, next week. Well, what do you think? 21st or 28th?
I'm fine either one. With either one. We will nominally have low attendance this month, I think. So
you want to have it in?
That's not September. What I meant. I mean, strategy, we probably just want specific key people anyway. So we might want to pick a date and then specifically make sure those people will be the really core people would be able to join us, especially people who might end up teaming up to get funded, either as principals or as supporting within our group. So why don't we say either one of the two dates and you come back after you ping the right people, and then we skip one of them.
Well, these are just the core people, right? So,
right, funding.
Like, you think Leo would be good?
Yeah, Leo definitely. He'll be good for the strategy. He usually doesn't try to get involved in funding because of his MITRE role. I mean, it's the same people. I mean, the Mike Deans. You might send out a message to just the core people. I mean, the Todds and Mike Deans and Michael here, and so on. So I do we say August 21st or 28th, and then you pick one of the dates, and we have no meeting on the other one.
Okay. Mm. All right, so I'll do that.
Mm.
Then. And then at that meeting, we'll plan the subsequent meetings.
Can you plan one for architecture? Do you want to plan one for architecture?
Okay, for architecture, what I'm hoping to do for architecture is to get more feedback from the people in OData about what they would actually want from such a repository. In other words, a use case.
Yeah, actually, can you think you can get the OData people to join us on the 14th next Tuesday? Because that would sort of get them to get a feel for what we do, and you can start getting some requirements there, because it's open discussion, and that would feed into technical discussion on the architecture and API.
Hmm. Oh, I'll see what I can do.
Maybe you might even want to co-chair this with Mike Dean next Tuesday.
Well, no, I think just having those people at that session would be a nice, easy introduction for them into what we're doing. I'm not sure if they – I don't think it would be quite fair for them to kind of participate – not require them to participate in a substantial way. I think having them as observers for something where we're talking about OR and big data would be a great intro for them. But more than that, it might be too much.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure to what extent I'll be able to get them to attend at all.
Mm-hmm. Can I put you down to at least you would try?
Oh, I'm certainly going to try.
Mm.
Yeah, you might mention to them that, you know, this is the topic for that session is OOR for big data. That might also be a little more attractive than just, we're talking about ontology repositories.
Right. And let them know it's no presentation. It's just sort of internal discussion to formulate how we want to move forward. So their opinion, I mean, if would be useful if they want to express one, or if not, then they could just observe.
But who? I mean, certainly somebody is going to be talking about the subject. Who does Mike Dean expect to be there?
As far as I can read from Mike's message, he does not expect anyone to be speaking.
Mm-hmm.
He would just expect to be discussing. I guess similar to what Michael did on July 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe identify a few things and then sort of do a discussion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So I'd like to defer deciding when the next architecture meeting will be.
Okay, all right. At least we have enough to last us until November 4th, and then one on November 18th, which is good. Yeah.
September, you mean?
September.
September. Yeah, we're... So what's the next, the next item, metadata workshop?
Yeah, like I have to go back and look at my notes.
Michael will get back.
What the open issues are for that.
Yeah.
When I was at the Oasis, I forgot to mention this, there's a standard called FRBR. FRBR.
Could you type that on the chat? Yeah, it's relevant.
Well, it was developed by librarians, I guess. All right, which is a relatively vague standard. So they have a concept of a work, and then an expression of the work, and then a manifestation of the expression. That kind of thing. So it is definitely a kind of ontology, but they don't express it in any formal ontology language. But it's an actual standard that exists.
Is it being developed or is it already developed?
Already exists. It's kind of old at this point.
Oh. Okay.
Anyway, and there's actually another standards committee within Oasis that's dealing with legal documents. It's also concerned with metadata about what the metadata is for documents. So there are apparently a number of these groups that have at least tried to develop standards for the metadata for documents, not for ontologies. Mm-hmm. So that's something that you might want to think about in your metadata workshop.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Seem to be some of these. I'm not sure these standards have been terribly successful, but there's certainly been attempts at this. So it might be worth looking into them.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Okay, good. Back to a question. Both you guys said we'll get back on this. Can you sort of, can we try to lock in a date next Tuesday?
So yeah.
Maybe take 5 minutes off Mike Dean's time to lock in two dates.
Yeah.
The next architecture and the next metadata workshop.
Definitely.
All right. I just saved. If you refresh, then that's pretty much it. And so, so we'll meet next week.
Okay. Talk to you next week then.
Anything else, Ken?
Okay, so I was just making notes to myself about things I need to take care of by next week. So, all right, so we've gotten through the agenda, and we ran a little over.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, no, wait, it's an hour and a half, right?
1 to 1.5. But this, even an hour and a half, you're still a bit over, but that's fine.
Yeah. But, yeah, so we've got it. It's time to adjourn. Thanks to everyone who came. And I guess we're going to be having a meeting then next week.
We'll need to lock down three dates.
Right.
Next week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Thanks.
Right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.